my testimony, I'm going to be pouring my heart out. The words that God has given me, poured out into all glory to God. The title of the sermon today is Triggering the Heart. Now we know today's society, the word triggering, so negative. Dictionary defines triggering as a particular action, process, or situation that happens in an event, circumstance, like nowadays, words. Similar words for triggering are prompt, set off. My gotta set it off. Set it off all the time when we go to camp. One of my favorites is stir up. Stir up. Great way to trigger. Stir up. Singing. Praise. Questions nowadays trigger someone on an intellectual level, on an emotional level. What do you want to do today? I want to stir up something inside the heart. I'll give you an example of a question that makes you think. This is one me and my wife talk about all the time. What if someone gave you a large sum of money, okay? This is not gambled money. It's not anything against the church. You've been blessed with a large sum of money. What are you going to do with it? Everybody here is going to have a different answer. I know some of us, oh, I'm not taking that money. Money is the root of all evil. I've never seen $1 million laying on the ground kill anybody. The root of all evil stems from someone's heart. Okay? And believe me, me and my wife have made a list. We know what we would do with a large sum of money. Give a large portion of it to the church. We would give a large portion of it to orphanages. Then we'd spend some on ourselves, maybe pay off some bills, and maybe not work anymore. But obviously, I don't have $1 million. I don't have a large sum of money. My wife shops like we do, but we don't. Let's get more personal. Let me ask you a more personal question. What if you could administer a cure for cancer? What's on your list? This limited amount of a cure. Are you going to use it for someone who's close? Are you going to cure someone who might have a cure for some other disease? Are you going to cure? Everyone's going to have a different answer. Some answers are going to be based emotionally, logically. Some people are going to make it personal. I'm going to cure somebody who I love. One more. Get to the lesson. What if you can bring someone back from the dead? But it couldn't be somebody. Right there, now we're getting to the question, like, some people probably say, it don't matter who I bring back because I can't bring somebody I love. These are questions that are just going to stir something up inside. Okay? There's so many questions like that in the Bible. So many questions that stir up an emotional response, spiritual response, and that's what we want to do today. Matthew 27, starting on the verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now before we move on, Pilate already knows Jesus is innocent. Now we don't know Pilate's full history. But it seems to me that Pilate knows an innocent man when he sees one. And the last thing he wants to do is put to murder an innocent man. That's not going to work for him. He needs the people's encouragement. He needs the people's vote. He needs the people. So to put an innocent man to death would be so against what he's trying to do. So he's trying really hard to get Jesus to admit it. Just say, you're innocent. He was just amazed. So we'll read further. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. Now, Pilate's trying real hard to do the good thing here. But he doesn't want to be unpopular with the mob. Okay? He wants to do the right thing. He wants the people to release him. He doesn't want to release him because what's going to happen? The people are going to be against him. He's trying really hard. What does he do? He goes, I got an idea. I'm going to give him no choice. I'm not going to let them decide this decision. I'm going to make them think they're going to decide. So he brings this notorious killer, Barabbas. Any one of us could be a Barabbas. Who do they choose? Surely they're going to choose Jesus, right? While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. Even she knew. A righteous man. What was that dream? You may never know. Knew something. Warned her husband. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas! Release Barabbas! Put Jesus to death! Then what shall I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? They all said, release him. No. Mm-mm. Put him in jail. No. Do the worst of the worst to him. Crucify him. Crucify this innocent man. Release the murderer. Release the thief. Release the liar. Release the pornographer. What are we? Which one are we? Who are we releasing today? Put Jesus to death. Why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him. Pilate tried to do the best he could. But he just couldn't go with the unpopular vote. He couldn't go against the grain. He couldn't go with the mob, against the mob. So when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people said, his blood shall be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas for them, but having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. In a word, it might not sound like much, but let me visually show you what Pilate, this man who was trying to do. He was trying to release Jesus, giving Jesus every opportunity to change the mob's mind. But I'll visually show you what he did. He does this and then cleans his hands and says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. That's it. He He probably didn't even have dirty hands. But he wets them, and then he dries them. Our Lord and Savior, who loved, who healed, who taught, disregarded with merely some water and a towel by someone who could have freed him. See to that yourselves. The crowd thinking they've taken all power. His blood be on us and on our children. Oh, if they only knew what they were asking for. The very thing they said was the very same thing Jesus was doing, giving us an opportunity to come before him and be bathed in his blood, to be cleansed of all our sins. But they didn't know that. They thought they were taking all the power from Pilate. Pilate thought he was cleansing himself of innocence. See, that was a Jewish custom. Deuteronomy 21:6. All the elders of the city which is nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands did not shed this blood, or did our eyes see it. Forgive your people, Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Lord, and do not place the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people, Israel. They washed their hands to let people know, I had nothing to do with this. This is how serious I am. I've washed my hands before you. We do that today, right? I swear I didn't do it. I swear. Some kids say, oh, I promise, I didn't do this. I didn't take this. We do that. We might not directly do something, but we were a part of something. The mob is chanting, crucify him, our Lord and Savior. In this account, it says he was scourged right after. In John's account, he was scourged before. No matter what, our Lord and Savior has been put to trial. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? We've learned what this trial and how it progressed. But church, I ask you today, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What are you going to do? Are you going to go with the mob? Are you going to go with the world and continue on doing the things that you're doing? Oh yeah, I'm up here. I'm preaching this. I'm preaching this to myself first. I tell you that. Can I be real with you? I know there's a throwback to Dunn. Can I be real with you? Because I tell you right now, everything I read for myself first before I deliver it to anybody. I'm trying to practice what I preach. Oh yeah, I joke. I joke around with people all over the place. But I tell you right now, I need this more than anybody I know. So what are you going to do with Jesus? This question does not discriminate against age. It doesn't discriminate against gender, pronoun, whatever the case. It doesn't discriminate against financial status. It doesn't discriminate how popular you are. It doesn't matter how much you've done for Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you plan on doing for Jesus. The question you should be asking yourself every morning you are blessed with another morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? Why is this question so important and vital to your life? Well, first off, it your joy as a servant depends on it. Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord you are serving. Without Jesus in my life, every aspect of my life, my family, my work, my church, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would feel disregarded and disrespected for a good portion of my time. If it wasn't for Jesus, I could not continue to serve my family when I feel that they've disrespected me. If it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't continue to clock in and clock out of a job that overworks me. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be able to serve in a church that sometimes disregards and omits me. I'll put it to you just like that. But because I'm serving the Lord, it doesn't matter if I'm singing here or if I'm singing out there, I'm doing it for God. So when I step out of this building, I can sing for as long as I want and to who I want, and I'm out there singing. Two, your fellowship. Your fellowship depends on how you answer this question. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to forgive those who I felt have wronged me. It is because of Jesus I can continue to serve my family, to work as hard as I work at Walmart, and to serve joyfully my congregation. And it's because of Jesus I can go out there, and those people who used to be my friends and have stabbed me in the back, I can forgive them. Because just like Barabbas, they would have been released too. Just like myself, I would have been released. My Jesus would still be crucified. I'm nothing special. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be able to forgive my enemies. And we have a world full of enemies. Finally, our salvation depends on it. Jesus, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4:11 and 12. If your destination is heaven, who's taking you? If your destination is heaven, who's going to guide you? Who are you going to look like when you get to heaven? I can't get there myself. If you read the back of the bulletin, all that is true. I'm horrible with directions. I don't care how many times I've been to Fort Smith. There's a time or two I got to look at my map. Oh, okay. There's Chick-fil-A. But how are you going to get there? Is destination even is heaven your destination? Ask yourself that. Is heaven? Or you plan on staying here forever? If you're waking up every morning, thank God. If you're not, better hope you're waking up in heaven. The same mentality that we use on everyday questions that we feel are vital to our everyday life is nothing compared to the answer you're going to give to that question, what will you do to Jesus, with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? The answer you give to that question will directly affect your judgment before God. Need me to say that again? The answer to that question, what will you do with Jesus, will directly affect your judgment before God on Judgment Day. You know, as I begin to close, I got what? Another 30 minutes? Everybody here knows, and if you don't know, you're about to find out. I started fishing last July, and I haven't stopped ever since. Fishing all the time. I enjoy it. It's relaxing. I've been talking to God the whole time I fish. Not doing a lot of catching because it's so flooded, but that gives me more time to talk to God. When I'm done fishing, get home, I'll wash my hands when I'm done. Wash of all the stuff I got on my hands. After work, dealing with the dirt and the mulch, when I get off of work, go home and I'll wash my hands. God has made me a fisher of men. He's made me a servant. I don't want to ever get to a point where I'm washing my hands and telling God I'm done. I want to keep on getting my hands dirty, washing people's feet. I want to continue to get dirty in some of those areas that people are afraid to go to proclaim the name of Jesus. We have a song of invitation. It's going to say, I will hasten, hasten to him. Think of that. This is your invitation. If you feel like you need to empty yourself, well, I've done. I've emptied myself so much, there's so much more room for God. If you feel like that, come forward. Proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ. Give your life to God. Surrender that life. Be buried in a watery grave of baptism. Give your life to God. Start working for God. Don't just wash your hands of your sin. That's not going to do anything for you. But if this message is not for you, if you just need prayers, if you just need encouragement from your brothers and sisters, we can do that now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have a lure my
song on the screen, and then Brother